Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We are live in downtown Nashville on the corner of Commerce and 2nd. At the side piece, we got some pizza, there's spaghetti. Lance is munching on a salad, a lot of other great treats that they have down here. But it is time to say hello to the best, our friend, forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders, who is with us now. He joins us every Friday at this time. Chris, I want to let you know that in my part-time, and by the way, Chris Sanders is presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. In my spare time, I'm an agent, and I just talked to Mike Borgonzi, and it's down to you, Derek Mason, and who was the other one, Joe?
Shedrick Wilson.
Shedrick Wilson.
Shedrick Wilson? What?
Yeah, sorry, man.
But, yeah, I'm working on getting one of you a contract. So just wait on that call because they need receiver help.
Champ, they do, man. But guess what? Everybody wanted to see Restrepo, and I think they're going to have a chance to see him. So I might come out of retirement. If Derek comes out of retirement, we both won't make it in the second half because both our hamstrings will be done.
Yeah, they're on fire. Like, they will be gone. But like, I mean, you bring up Restrepo, you kind of have to at this point because Io Manor's probably not going to play with the hammy.
No.
DK's been practicing, but he's not 100%. Then you got Van Jefferson. Look, we love Mason Kinsey. He's the story every year.
Yeah.
But, like, there were two plays last week that you got to make that he didn't make. And then they put James Prochet on the active roster. But still, to me, that – I mean, 3.5 active receivers? I don't know about that.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. It's about opportunity. I mean, these guys that, you know, we're talking about with Strap-On for Shape, you get an opportunity to show that you can be a part of this team next year, even audition for other teams. I know we don't want to hear that. I know that's kind of the business side of it. But these guys are going to play hard. They're going to try to get open. But at the end of the day, you need a guy on a receiving squad that's going to scare you. If I'm a defensive coordinator, let me ask y'all. If y'all are defensive coordinators, who will scare you out of all them guys that we named?
Zero.
Exactly. 0.0.
See that? That's what I'm saying. There's nobody that scares you that can take the top off the defense that would put a threat in the defense. And they're going to go man-to-man, stop the run, and it could be a long day for the Titans.
All that said, to me, this screams that you're probably going to run a lot of two tight end sets. You agree with that?
Yeah, you're going to have to. I mean, you got the situation with the offensive line. First of all, with Latham, you know, he had three false starts last week. And, you know, you got a struggling offensive line. So you got to go two tights to protect those two tackles. So you're going to have two wide receivers on the field. You can't go empty. You don't want to do that because you only got 1.5 of receivers. So you got to make sure that you put the right set out there to try to make some plays at the wide receiver position.
I always thought, you know, when a team is far superior than you, you got to do things you normally don't do. I mean, like draw plays, screen passes, trick plays, just to keep them off balance. Because if you go toe-to-toe, if the Titans, Chris, go toe-to-toe with the Seahawks, they'll lose 42-0. They can't match up talent-wise. So you got to be creative. And the fact, Chris, this football team is not creative when they literally have nothing to lose makes me batty.
Yeah, but see, I don't want to do something crazy where it's 3rd and 1, and all you need to get a first down, you do the Statue of Liberty. I mean, you don't want to do no crazy stuff like that. But I guarantee you that, you know, Bo Hardigree is going to probably do. You're going to see a lot of trick plays, a lot of screens, a lot of stuff that you usually don't see. Why? Because you're 1-9, and you really don't have nothing to lose. So we're going to see some crazy stuff. You might see a halfback pass. You might see, you know, Cam Moore split out a wide receiver, not catch a pass, but just kind of do some tricky stuff to kind of make something happen and get the crowd excited.
By the way, Shedrick Wilson, former free agent receiver with you on the 96 Oilers, his middle name was Roderica.
Oh, well, that sounds like some seasoning. I mean, you know. Shedrick Wilson, oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, he had a chance, but you ran a better route than he did. He got cut, so great job by you.
Here's a funny thing. In 1996, I'll give you $100 if you can name the other wide receiver that was on the Houston Oilers team. I'll give you $100.
Willie Davis, Malcolm Floyd, you, Shedrick Wilson, and God.
Chris Sanders, another Chris Sanders. Remember that?
Chris Sanders.
Yeah, there was another Chris. That's right.
Yeah, from Texas A&M.
So I'll take $50. I'll send you my Venmo in a little bit. You can send me that money. I appreciate it. So, look, we talked a lot about Restrepo, and my friend Charles just sent me a note about, look, why is he on the – aren't you on the practice squad because there's some hopes that you could get called up? And then if you're not calling this guy up, then why is he on the practice squad? If he's giving you a good read off the scout team, well, can he not kind of do this in a game? I'm really confused about all this.
Yeah, I mean, it is. When you're on the practice squad, that means they see something. They see some potential in you to come out and make plays. But now you have an opportunity. You have the opportunity. A lot of receivers are out. So go out and prove that you can get – you can play in this lane because, he didn't get drafted. You know, he's still an unknown. I know he was great, you know, in college, but it's a totally different situation when you're from college into the pros. So what an opportunity to go out there to catch 7 or 8 balls, make some plays, get the crowd excited. So now when they come to the draft and now when they come to free agency, they still have you in the back of the mind because the potential came to fruition when you had a chance and took advantage of it.
Do you think he gets called up? I mean, they have nobody else.
They have you. I mean, just imagine you running.
I got one good route in me.
I got two. I got a bubble and I got a hitch. That's all I got for you. Yeah. But here's the thing. I know I'm being facetious a little bit to say, you don't have anybody. These guys that are on the field are still the elite of the elite. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're on the practice squad, whatever. But see, Van Jefferson still needs to prove himself. Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. You know, with the Rams. But he's still an unknown and unproven that he can last in the league. So I guarantee he's going to have a pretty good game. Restrepo and some of the other guys are going to have to step up and make some plays to make your quarterback look good. But I don't know who's going to do it in this situation.
Talking with Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, what did you think about Jeffrey Simmons being very outspoken after the game last week? I I've heard Derek give his thoughts, but I haven't gotten to talk to you about it. And, you know, to an extent, I like it. Yeah. He's a leader. You got to call guys out. But to the other side of it, I understand that probably needs to stay in the room.
1,000%. Let me give you a perfect example. Just imagine you're barbecuing. You already have a big old fire. But then all of a sudden you throw another coal in there and it makes the fire bigger. That's the situation with the Tennessee Titans right now. You have a big fire right now, and then all of a sudden you go in to meet it and you say something about the offense. You say something about 3 and outs and having false starts. Those are the things as a leader. And I'm not saying he's not a good leader. I'm not saying he's not this and that. But as a leader that makes everybody better, I would talk to him after the game and say, hey, big dog, I need you to be better. I need you to stop having false starts. I need you to be the pillar of this offense. I don't think – You do that, get in the media. I know you're frustrated. I know you want to win games. But at the end of the day, if he's your teammate and he's, the guy that you're going to roll with, I pull him to the side and I talk to him face-to-face without a tic-tac. That's kind of how I would handle it.
Yeah. I like that Jeff is being a little more outspoken. He's definitely showing signs of leadership. And I'm sure thinking about it now, he probably, because it was the heat of the moment.
It is. And sometimes you got to step away and just kind of pause for a second before the media comes in because you're frustrated. You're going to go off emotions. But I think he would take it back. And here's the leader that I think he is. He would go to Lathan and say, listen, I know I said some things that I should have said in the media, but at the end of the day, we're still brothers. Let's squash and let's go for it. So I think it's not going to be a bigger deal than what we think it is.
I don't think he does that. I think he's genuinely frustrated at J.C. Lathan. We were in the locker room in Vegas. And Simmons' just attitude when you ask about JC and yelling at him at practice was like, I'm fit to be tied with this guy. And, and that's the thing. Great players want people around them to be great. Wow. And when somebody's not putting the work in to be great, Chris, you've seen it. It's frustrating.
Yeah, but see, you got to get to a point to where – and I don't really know Latham. You got to get to a situation where you love football. I'm not saying it's your guy. You got to love it. You got to love being around your teammates. You got to love making plays. You got to love to want to turn this thing around. And sometimes if a guy has an attitude, I messed up, I don't even care, then sometimes you need to check him at the door and say, listen, do you love this game? Do you love being around here? Do you love, trying to build something great? And if you're not a part of that, then maybe, we need to talk to the organization and go a separate way. Those are the conversations that you need to have behind closed doors.
Right.
Because I've seen it so many times. You have a guy that says something in the meeting, then all of a sudden there's a friction in the locker room, and all of a sudden those two big old dogs fight, and I'm stepping out the way. So you don't want that situation to happen. You want to calm the fire down but still keep these guys accountable.
Now, be honest. Have you ever been called out by a teammate when you played in the NFL?
Oh, my gosh. Blaine Bishop. Oh, my God. Blaine Bishop, yeah. But, see, here's the thing. The one thing I love about Blaine Bishop is he yelled to get everybody better. If I dropped a pass or the offensive coordinator's not making the right call, he's jumping somebody's behind. But his was a little different. His was like, man, I know we can do it. I believe in you, but let's get it done. So that's why I love the way he did it. He didn't do it to make it to where it was a personal attack. He did it to say, you know what, we got the ability, we got the talent, let's go do this thing. That's why I love what Blaine Bishop did.
Chris, before we let you go, you know, we always enjoy getting to mix in what's going on with the Big Red. I know it was a tough one last week coming to an end against Brentwood Academy, but I know you have to be proud of the young men that you got to coach this year, and especially the guys that are moving on that, unfortunately, we talk about it, played their last high school football game, but I just want to give you a moment to kind of reflect on that.
You know, I appreciate it. Thank you for doing that. But, you know, I know we lost. We were 6-5. You know, Brentwood Academy did an awesome job. But here's where we won at. There's a kid named Scruggs. They kind of went through some trials and tribulations. He went through the situation with the covenant, you know, with the school and everything. And he had a chance to quit. I mean, he had a chance to say, I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, had to leave practice for headaches and all this stuff. But he finished and became a starter for the Big Red and had 5 or 6 touchdowns this year. So, man, so even though we lost, this kid won and overcame some hard stuff in his life. And then there's a couple of more kids that, you know, if you saw them as a freshman, you'd be like, they'll never play. They don't have the talent. All of a sudden, they become starters and make some of the biggest plays in some of the biggest games. So it's more than just football. It's about overcoming the things in your life to say, you know what, I gave everything I got and I can leave the game. So that's what I'm proud of. I didn't win, but those kids won, so that's why I love coaching.
That is beautiful. You know, I had a dream. I'm being serious. A couple weeks ago, of snapping my shoulder pads, of putting a little latch in there, and put my and I had a dream. It was vivid, man, and I was like, my gosh, what? How wonderful it was that I was a part of that world. Man. I wasn't the greatest player, but I gave everything I had. But the snapping of the shoulder pads and all that is just, I'm telling you, man, it's memory. Whether you win a championship or not, and you talk about your young man on your football team, the memories and the brotherhood he's got forever.
It is. And that's what it is. You know, just like when we lost, you know, they came up to me and hugged me. They said, Coach, thank you for coaching me. I said, man, this is not going to stop here. I said, I'm coming to your wedding. I'm going to wear an orange suit and some green gaiters. I'm going to be at your wedding because I love you. You're not a commodity. I love you as a son. I love you because I watched you cry. I watched you bleed. I watched you overcome stuff in your life. So guess what? The buck doesn't stop here. Why? Because we're going to do great things, not just what we did at NBA, but I'm going to watch you grow into the man that God's called you to be. That's why I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, we're glad that you could talk about them, and appreciate you, Chris. We'll talk to you next week.
Man, I love y'all so much. Appreciate you.
I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, he'll see you Sunday.
Let's go. Appreciate
it. Later, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of the things he had to say. Preds fans, Jordan Tutu will join us at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe live at the side piece, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday, live at the side piece downtown, the corner of 2nd and Commerce. He's Big Joe Duman. I'm Chasing McCabe. Brandon Bigsby, a.k.a. Brando, back at the studio.
We need our Dr. Crane down here. This little, they got nice spaghetti and meatballs. I mean, this is some good stuff down here.
Yeah, you're enjoying that sketty over there.
Oh, my gosh. So good. I'm sure that half of it on my face and shirt. That's all
my
right.
My dad, one time, you know, he had the restaurant called Paschetti's.
Heck yeah, he did.
For a long time. And one time he was joking with me early in my career, and he's like, yeah, you could do an ad for it called Come Get Some Skitty from My Diddy.
By the way, Paschetti's the official caterer of Game Blitz.
It was, yes, it was.
Good food right there, man.
He would bring in, like, I'm like, Dad, there's 3 of us. You brought enough for 50.
It was great, man. It was so good.
Dagwood loved it because Dagwood would show up Saturday morning and find it in the fridge.
That's
and
right.
Take it home.
He would. There's like 10 pails of it around there. So, but that's funny because he's about the Game Blitz. We had some big games around the area tonight. Beach at Page is a huge game in 5A. Green Hill travels to Oakland tonight. That's a big game. CPA at Brentwood Academy tonight in Division II games and a few others around. But
Baylor and McCauley fighting on the other side.
Good.
That bracket. That,
good.
That'll be a good one. Let's see. More with the FRA host, Lausanne.
Ooh, for your Panthers to go to the state championship? Yep. I didn't know this.
Yep, and then on the other side, Boyd Buchanan hosts BGA.
Holy cow. Who is the most famous FRA graduate beside yourself?
I don't know. That's
Jimmy good. Buffett's daughter?
See, that was before me, though.
Okay.
I don't.
It's all right.
I mean, Allen's daughter. a lot of kids of famous people.
Who's the know. Most famous? Was it Alan Jackson's daughter?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a really good question.
Is it? I think BGA is BGA's quarterback Luke Bryan's son, or is he the backup quarterback, or he's something like that? Which is cool. So your Panthers could be going to the state championship game in 2 weeks.
Yep. Nashville Christian takes on Trinity Christian. And then Providence Christian takes on USJ, so that will decide who plays in the state title game there. Did you mention Blackman and Maryville?
I did not. There's another one.
Oakland Green Hill. That's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, Maryville's at Blackman tonight down in Murfreesboro, and then Green Hill at Oakland across the city.
Ravenwood's in Memphis.
Now, man, are they playing?
Whitehaven.
Whitehaven. Last week, man, we beat Memphis Houston. So we're gonna come, and if they win, Ravenwood plays Southwind, I think, for Memphis.
Yep.
Next week. So this is fun. I mean, this is the quarterfinal. The weather hopefully clears out. Katie Morgan, wink, wink. Get this rain out of here, and we'll have a good night. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be at the Oakland Green Hill game tonight on Fox 17 Football Frenzy. So it'll be a lot of fun. Get out and support your high schools. Please, they would love to see you in the crowd tonight.
Shouting out Metro, because obviously I did all those games. Pearl Cone goes to Marshall County.
Come on, Coach Brunetti, get it done.
South Gibson and Springfield, that's in 4A. I'm just kind of going through all the brackets here.
Is East Nashville still playing? We'll go down. They're 3A.
Yeah, I just got to that one.
Okay.
They are not, unfortunately.
Did they? Okay. So Pearl Cone's the last Metro team alive.
I think that is Antioch.
It's a good question.
Where are they?
6A.
Yeah, they're out. Okay.
Who beat Antioch? Somebody last week beat them? We should know this. I apologize.
There's a lot of schools, to be fair. yeah, East lost. I'm trying to find it. Okay.
Thanks, really Brando. Good.
Yeah, so they lost to Collierville 39-28 last week.
Thanks, Brando. Getting it done.
Are you sure that East didn't move up?
Man, are they 4A or 2A? I don't know. East Nashville.
They're 2A. 2A. They're still in. They're playing Milan tonight.
2A?
Yeah.
4-3-2?
I know. It all changes. They beat Fairley last week, and now they go on the road to Milan.
Is that Mr. Farley from Three's Company?
Yes.
I know it's Mr. Farley.
Huntington plays East Robertson, Marion County, Gordonsville, Eagleton, and Bledsoe County. That's the 2A.
Yeah, a lot of good games tonight. The rain will just hold off till Monday. It'll be fine.
Yep. And then is there anybody around here in 1A anymore? I don't think so.
I don't think. Cornersville, maybe, or Fayetteville. That's all Middle Tennessee schools somewhere in our district, man. But I'm not sure. There's not a lot of 1A around.
Yep. So there you go. That's the high school football playoffs.
We got you covered tonight. I'm really excited who's coming on next.
I am too. One of our favorites, and I'm not afraid to say that. Jordan Tutu, a fan favorite. Get your Tutu whistles ready. He's going to be in the house tomorrow. He's going to join us next. We will tell you why. Chase and Big Joe live at the side piece, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe live from the side piece in downtown Nashville, 2nd and Commerce. We're waiting Jordan Tutu to give us a call. So hopefully we will talk to him very soon, as he'll be back in town tomorrow for the debut of his documentary. So really looking forward to that.
I got a lot of good memories with Mr. Jordan Tutu, just because he was so fierce on the ice and so damn nice off the ice.
Oh, yes.
He's the first hockey player my family fell in love with. We have the whistles, the jerseys, the banners. I mean, I've bought more Jordan Tutu merchandise than I have any other pro team combined in my life.
Well, one of my favorite stories is I was at the station as an intern, And you may remember this, and well, you were at the station too at this point, but when Alex Radulov came back to the team, and that was like the first event that I got to go cover at Bridgestone Arena, was his return. And we go down there, and Dave Hull, who, you know, we know, and the late, great Dave Hull was one of our producers at the time, knew Jordan pretty well. And so he introduced me to Toots, and Toots gave us the tour of, nice. Like, the locker room and got to go out on the ice and all that stuff. And, like, he was just a fantastic person. So, again, the event tomorrow is going to be back in town, and it's a documentary, the raw and honest story of Jordan Tutu's life and hockey career, from moving away from his hometown to being drafted by the Nashville Predators, his struggle with alcoholism, and the loss of his brother from suicide. Jordan and loved ones share about his journey to sobriety, how Jordan's resilience continues to impact the lives of others. Viewer discretion is advised in this, just so you know. But they're going to hit the tough subjects, which Jordan's been very open about, both in his career and post-career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't easy for him. I mean, he didn't just, you know, go to juniors. Next thing you know, he's in the pros and make everything happen. But it was fun, I mean, watching him, because we all kind of grew up with that hockey team back in the 2000s, and he was iconic. He's number two. I mean, I think in fan – Pekka will always be number one. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of us out there that missed and loved Jordan Tutu because we all thought we were one – I'm telling you, real quick, when he got on the ice, everybody stood up.
Oh, yeah.
Every time Jordan Tutu got on the ice for the Predator, everybody stood up, and we're just like, what's he going to do? He was so much fun to watch, and did he not get traded to the Red Wings?
Yes. Oh. No, he didn't get traded. His contract ran out. They didn't re-sign
him. Okay.
He signed with the Red Wings, then got traded to Chicago.
Oh, that hurts even more.
And finished his career with the New Jersey Devils, okay. I believe that was right. But, yeah, I mean, his last year here was his best year. I mean, he was scoring goals, but he had gotten sober. And, you know, he credits David Poile and Barry Trotz for doing a lot for him.
Yeah.
You know, to help him through that process.
Who was the Stars player that he hit that was coming behind him?
Stefan Robita. Turned around and just decked him.
That's being nice. I mean, just laid that dude out. But you always thought – he was an underdog. The Predators were an underdog. The city was an underdog in hockey. And he made us proud, man. He made us really proud when he got on the ice. And then when he scores even better like that. I think he's still the number two most beloved, at least in my eyes, Nashville Predator player, because of we're all discovering the game at the same time he was on the ice playing. And it was something special doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we can get him on here in just a few minutes. I know he had a lot of stuff he was doing today with his family and coming into town for, you know, for the event and everything tomorrow. So we will hopefully get him on here shortly. But the Predators will be back on the ice tomorrow against Colorado. They had a long break after the trip to Sweden. And Barry Trotz was on DVD yesterday, was asked point blank of – why, you know, his decision to stay with Andrew Brunette, and I thought he was honest about it. I know fans are not going to like that they think it's time to make a change, but, you know, Barry basically said, and we'll play the clip here in a few minutes, basically said, if I thought that the coaches weren't getting the most out of the players and weren't working hard and coaching them, then I would make a change. But I don't feel like that's the case.
Well, I mean, it's getting close to that point. What do you say, the American Thanksgiving is like – what does that mean? Is that like the tread deadline, or is that like the point of no return? Is that fail-safe? I don't know how that applies to hockey.
I don't know. I feel like – I mean, like we talked about with Greg Wyshynski yesterday, you know, and look, I am usually the last to get to, you got to make a coaching change. But I do kind of feel like they're at a point where you can't really change the whole roster, so you got to change something. But I think Barry Trotz has looked at this and gone like, well, they're not quitting. you know, he's still getting what right. he can out of the players. But I know that if I make a change, whether it's Carl Taylor or Peter DeBoer or Peter Laviolette or whoever, that they're still not going to get a team good enough to go win the Stanley Cup. Well, so if yeah. that's the case, then in his mind, he's thinking, why should I make a change?
I get it. I mean, there is absolutely zero buzz around this hockey team. They're the second worst team in the NHL. I mean, thank God Calgary's there. They're barely ahead of the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, they're right there all together. They're already 7 points behind in the Western Conference and the Central behind Utah. So, I mean, in Minnesota, Chicago, Winnipeg, and Dallas are all running away from them. And Colorado's in town tomorrow night. This is just not a good hockey team. And I don't know why people won't admit that. It's just not a good hockey team. There's no buzz. They're just not good right now. And it's okay to say you're not good, play harder, and do all the other things. But winning is the end-all, be-all. You have to win games. And right now, they're not winning games. They've only won 6 games this year.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's not good enough.
No.
And look, I didn't expect this team to take a huge jump, but I thought they would be doing a little bit more. I do believe we have Jordan Tutu on the line with us now. So let's say hello to one of our all-time favorites. Jordan, how the heck are you? It's good to talk to you.
Hey, Chase, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Yes, it's always good to get back to Nashville.
Yeah, I know. And look, your story is one of those hero stories. It's a great one. And we talk on this show a lot about mental health and suicide prevention and all these really tough subjects that you have talked about throughout your career and obviously post-career. And it's going to be all featured in a documentary about you and your life and career. I know you have to be excited to premiere it tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, it's been quite the journey the last 5 years filming and actually getting to know more about my family's history and you know, obviously sharing stories and all that has really inspired not only myself but my immediate family to move forward in our paths and kind of, you know, this journey has been healing for all of us. So if my story is relatable to at least one person, you know, I'm hoping that this documentary will open the eyes of a lot of men in our communities, especially to reach out and to be okay with not being okay and asking for help.
What was the, I guess, the moment for you when you made the decision to get help and to get clean and sober? Did you have that moment where it kind of clicked of, hey, this is, I'm going down this right path and this is going to make my life ultimately better? Because I remember when the announcement came out that you were stepping away from hockey and going into the program. Did you have one of those moments?
Well, I think it was a number of occasions that happened prior to accepting the help. You know, obviously, being in a sport where men, you know, back in the day, don't ever show weakness or their vulnerability. You know, I was at a point in my life and hockey career where it was either accept the help or I'm going to be the next victim. And, you know, in order for me and my brother's legacy to live on, I knew I had to make lifelong changes. And, you know, I couldn't do it with the support of the Nashville Predator organization, you know, Mr. Barry Trotz and Mr. David Poyle, you know, reaching out and caring about Jordan Tutu, the person, and not just the hockey player. And the support that I've been receiving from the city of Nashville has just been unbelievable. And, you know, I'm forever grateful. I spent the first 9 years of my NHL career here in the city and getting out and getting to meet people. And, you know, like they always say, it's that Southern hospitality that gets you. And it's still there.
Jordan Tutu is on the Chasing Big Joe show. Jordan, once you opened up and started talking about what you're going through, tell me how the relief was when you did that, off your chest, off your mind, and all that. Was it a beautiful thing? Was it a healing thing once you started opening up to people?
Yes, it's definitely been a healing journey. You know, I think, you know, a lot of us men carry this bag, and we tend to just keep stuffing it and pushing it down. And you know, I noticed, you know, probably 4 or 5 years into my sobriety, where I started really unpacking that baggage and getting weight lifted off my shoulders. And you don't realize how many people you affect in your addiction. And you know, for almost 2 years into my sobriety, I didn't realize how many people I affected, and the amount of people coming up to me and congratulating me and wishing me well. It just it was heartfelt, and I still see it today.
How important is forgiveness on this journey of yours now?
Yeah, it's you know, a lot of us carry a lot of resentment and all that, and I think in order for one to move forward, you got to be able to forgive and not so much forget, but just understand the you know, the different dynamics that you know, living healthy and clean and sober changes your life perspectively. And you know, I'm not one to go out and tell people that they need to make changes in their life, because the choice is up to you. And fortunately, I had a great support system. I still do. You know, my wife Jennifer has been my rock, and blessing us with three beautiful daughters. You know, that's my life now. I owe it to my wife and my kids to show them, you know, the best of my ability, the right path, and just be a present father and husband.
Oh, beautiful. You know, Jordan had a friend of mine in his 20s. He was a hellraiser, and now he's in his 50s. And I said, would you like to go back and talk to that 20-year-old self? And he said, no, because that 20-year-old guy wouldn't listen. Do you understand what he's talking about?
Absolutely. You know, we all have some sort of narcissism in us. And when you're fully indulged in whatever substances or addiction issues you have, it's pretty tough to change that mindset, other than being persistent. And at the end of the day, just being a good person, being someone that you can lean on. And at the end, for me, it was, you know, just being mindful and understanding that we all fight a fight no one knows about until we speak up. And I try and do that nowadays in helping men really come out of their shell. And because we carry a lot of shame and guilt because of our past actions. And, you know, when you're 20, in your 20s, you know, you want to live your life, and you think you got it all under control until you hit your rock bottom. And, you know, I didn't realize that until my mid-20s. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for the gift I was offered in getting help.
Jordan Tutu is with us. How much do you try and, you know, mentor hockey players and guys that, you know, might be in the same position that you were in? And like you said, you don't always know. But, I mean, we read all the time of, you know, the guys that are young. I mean, I can't imagine being 18 years old and being thrust in the NHL and, you know, having the money and having the access and all of that and not really knowing what to do with it. So how much do you try and mentor not just hockey players but different athletes that might be going through the same thing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is having those open conversations. You know, I'm not one to tell any individual how to live their life or what they got to do or what the secret ingredient is. It's up to you. You know, how bad do you want it? And especially when I chat with a lot of hockey guys, you know, we constantly talk about mental toughness and the fact that, you know, it's about mind over matter. And a lot of us hockey players have that built in us already. And at the end of the day, your life away from the game can pull you in many different directions. And, you know, it's about having a great support system. And you know, you don't need 100 friends to count on. All you need is a handful. And you know, back in my day, I thought the more friends I had, the better. but that seemed to create a lot more chaos. And once I honed it in and reeled my life in, you know, I can count on one hand my true best friends.
Yeah, and look, that's kind of a tough realization. Do you look back, though, because I think you were a really important piece for the Predators and their growth, because to me, you were the first rock star. I mean, everybody knew who you were. You were the most popular player, obviously had a lot of charisma on and off the ice. So do you kind of look at that with some pride of knowing that you were one of those building blocks in the early days of this organization?
Yeah, you know, I'm a pretty humbled guy, and you know, people always say, "Well, you started the Smashville dynamics," and I just kind of tend to laugh, because for me, I was always a team player. It was never about me. I always put my teammates in front of me, and I was built to do the dirty work. You know, it's been embedded in me since I was a young kid to do hard things all the time, and I give credit a lot to my mom and dad for giving us those experiences and learning from them and taking the positives and moving forward. And you know, now when I look back, I just kind of chuckle at myself and, like, you know, how could this small town Inuk boy from Rankin Inlet, Nunavut become you know, a face in Nashville? You know, I'm just a regular person like everyone else, but you know, teammates first. And if you're a good teammate, I think that will give you an extended career in whatever profession you choose. So be a good person, be a good guy in the dressing room, and believe in yourself.
Okay, Barney Tutu might have been the original rock star, because whenever they would show him in the arena, he got a big standing ovation.
Oh, yeah, Barnyard, he's still wheeling around, and he still has a lot of fond memories of not being in Nashville. He definitely misses it.
Oh, I'm sure. We're talking to Jordan Tutu on the Chase and McJoe Show. Jordan, how important is Barry Trotz to you?
I mean, the guy cares about his players, you know, and, you know, for me, Trotsky was that person for me who, you know, I could go to and talk about anything. And not only him, but, you know, Mr. David Poile, they cared about Jordan Tutu, the person, not just the hockey player. And I find that ingredients like that will create an atmosphere of success. And, you know, hopefully the Preds can get back in the win column here.
Oh, absolutely. And we've heard, you know, people like you talk about what David Poile and Barry Trotz meant to them. When you see yourself on the screen, have you watched it yet? Is it difficult? I don't like seeing myself on camera or on film or anything. Do you have that same feeling, like, God, I don't want to see me up there? Or is it different? Or do you want to see yourself?
No, you know what? This, like I said before, this has been a healing journey. And every time I watch it, it allows me to have different feelings about different moments. And I'm grateful that I have clarity to notice those feelings. And, you know, like, I'm not one to shy away from hard things. I believe that for any individual to be successful in life, you got to be able to relive the past and move forward. And my documentary has allowed me to do that.
Tutu, the Jordan Tutu story, will debut tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, and Jordan and his family will be here, and we look so forward to it. It's good to talk to you again, my friend. You were always great to deal with back in the day, and I'm so excited for you and your journey and your family, and we look forward to seeing this. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Right on, guys. And maybe I'll walk into Trotsky's office this afternoon and ask him to sign me for a one-game tryout.
Yes!
Boys, yes. Back in the win column here. You
got a couple of big hits left in you, I bet.
Right on, guys. Hey, always a pleasure, and we'll catch you guys down the road at some point.
Awesome. Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Tutu, right, joining guys. Us here on the program, and you can see it tomorrow. Again, general admission tickets are $22. You can purchase this with a ticket to tomorrow's game. It's all going to get underway. Doors open at 11:30, and then 12:30 is when everything will start on Fang Vision at Bridgestone Arena. But one of the best, He's my all-time favorite Predator.
It's great, man.
Was great to deal with in early in my career, but just like that was the first time I met him, I was like, this guy's a rock star. Like, he was everybody's favorite.
Right?
Had the tutu whistles and
everything. And
awesome.
We discussed journeys all the time. How many times did he say journey in that interview?
Oh, yeah.
Multiple. I mean, it's a journey. And the fact that, and I'm telling you, three daughters, man. Your world changes when you have a little girl. It happened to me, and it's happened to him three times. And so, God bless you, Jordan Tutu. Your story should be told. And I just love that. I love that he's here to tell the story, which we talk about all the time. I love that he's here to tell us
and his brother's story, who unfortunately is not here.
Amen.
And that's a part of that journey as well. So, again, that'll be tomorrow. We'll come back, wrap up hour number two next here at the Side Piece at Commerce and Second. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, we're live today at the Side Piece here in downtown Nashville, 200 Commerce Street, right on the corner of Second and Commerce. Everyone needs a good side piece. Drinks, live music, the cheesiest pizza on Second Avenue, steps away from Broadway. It's your perfect late night fling. TheSidePieceNashville.com. We just had the potato cakes. They have spaghetti. They have the pizzas we mentioned. Pretzel, soft pretzels as well. And it's literally right here. I can see Broadway. It's on Second Avenue. So definitely want to check this place out and appreciate them for having us here today. We'll tell you more about that in hour number three. Also, Sean Henry scheduled to join us as well. That's all coming up here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.